In Ashiurim from Masechta Brachas Be'iyun, we've been studying Tefillah and various dimensions of Tefillah, including the difference between Tefillah's Chova and Tefillah's Nedava. We spoke about Tefillah as a Karbon. One thing I would like to discuss with you is Nesias Kapayim, or otherwise known as Birchas Kohanim, and its relationship to Tefillah. And this is a Sugya Masechta Megillah on Daf Chavdalad Amid Beis. We start with the Mishnah, and the Mishnah establishes that Kohen Sheyesh Biyadov Mumin Lo Yisas Kapov. Rav Yehuda Omer Af Mi Shahayu Yadov Tzvuos Sitis Sitim Lo Yisa Es Kapov Mipnei Sha'am Mistaklim Bo. And Rashi says Kohen Sheyesh Biyadov Mumin Lufisha Mistaklimbo. So what's wrong with that? V'amrinu Masechta Chagiga Hamistakel B'Kohanim B'Shah Shenosim Es Kapeim Einov Chaos Lufisha Shchina Shora Al Yudehem. Rashi understands that in the case of a Kohen who has some sort of blemish on his hands, that attracts attention, and the people in the audience will focus on his hands, and that they shouldn't do, because it will create chaos, it will cause a detriment, a damage to his eyesight. So it's clear that according to Rashi, the Mishnah, and the subject of the Mishnah, is not looking at the hands of the Kohanim while they are blessing the people. And therefore, if the disfigure of the Kohanim's hands is such that it'll cause the people in the audience to focus on their hands, that is a problem. Now, Tosis is not here in Megillah, it's in Masechta Chagiga, on Daf Tezayin Amalf, Dibra Maschil, Bekohanim. Tosis is going to attack Rashi in Megillah. He says the following: Mikan Koshal Pirish Rashi, to per gimel de megillah daf chavdalim and peis, alahi de snan yodov, bo ikonios, lo yisa eskapov, upirish rashi, vishum shah mistaklim bo, viamini bechagiga mistakl bekonim bishah shenosim kapeim ain of chaos, vahol lesa, de maskinon, dafka bezman shabayis, kayim, V'ilu hasam b'gvulim midamakshi mine b'gemar me'ahi davi b'shivivusei d'rav huna v'ari paris yade u'mishani dilma dosh b'iro hava. So it comes out that according to Tosfos, when the Gemara Chagiga warns us and enjoins us from looking at the Kohanim at the hands of the Kohanim at the time that they're duchenin, that only applies b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayim. And it only applies in the Beis HaMikdash. And Tosfos proves that this principle and this din applies even b'gvulin and even b'zman she'ein Beis HaMikdash kayim. And therefore Tosfos says, v'nir lefareish di'af b'gvulin mitzar mishum hesech hadas, that the Iser is not engendered by the histaklus, but rather by the lack of concentration. There's a requirement of concentration, and Hesech Hadas is going to derail you from the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. And therefore, if you look at the Kohanim's hands and you'll be distracted, that's a Hesech Hadas. And Tosfos supports his pshat with the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi quotes from Yossi, Hadah Amra, Sha'osul Stakel B'Kohanim B'Shoshem Mevorch Masa'am Omrav Chagai Klum Omar Elamishum Hesech Anom Estakel V'lo Mesachina Daite. The Yerushalmi is very outspoken that the Isur of Estaklus is not an Isur per se, it's just a form, an expression of Hesech Hadas. The Isur is really Hesech Hadas, and anything that will cause Hesech Hadas is problematic and should be avoided. So we have a debate here between Rashi and Tosfos. What is the problem
Why is there an Iser Staklus? Because of Ishosh and Nosim Kapayim, Bisman Azeh, if it was Bisman based on Migdash, then Rashi is correct. And it comes under the halacha of Hamistakel, B'yodav Shalkoinim, B'shosh and Nosim, Eskapayim Ein of Chaos, L'fish Hashchina Shora Al Yudeyim. Rashi extends that to apply even Shalom Bisman based on Migdash. Meaning that even Bisman is there without the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina is still Shor Al Yedeya, and the original Iser Staklus remains in place. Tos on the other hand holds that this logic of Shechina Shor Al Yedeya is limited to and only applies in Beis HaMikdash. Outside of the Mikdash, there's a whole different reason for this Iser of Staklus, and that is Mishum Hesech Hadas. Well, let's try to understand this concept of Hesech Hadas. It seems to propose, to presuppose, that you must focus, we're not talking about the Kohenim, you know, we're talking about the Kehilah, the Am, must be focused on the Birchas Kohanim without any distractions. And why is that so? We don't find an Iser Hesech Hadas with regard to other mitzvahs. Why Dafka in this mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim? Additionally, we would like to understand why the call should be enjoined from looking at the Kohanim in such a way that they'll come to Hesech Hadas. The Chova, the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, is incumbent upon the Kohanim. Who cares if the Tzibur are distracted and they're not focused, they're not paying attention? As far as the Kiyumah mitzvah, which is incumbent upon the Kohanim, it's irrelevant to whether or not the Israel in the call are focused or not focused. If the Israelim are masich and datam, it's irrelevant. So we have two questions to answer here. Number one, why is it that dafka in this mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim we find an Iser Hesech Hadas? We don't find it in other mitzvahs. And secondly, why are the people sitting in the audience at all relevant to Nesias Kapayim? The mitzvah of the Chova is Mutelas al Kohanim. This obligation of Birchas Kohanim is Kishmo, incumbent upon the Kohanim. Who cares if the Am are not focused and the Mesichim Daitam? And it would seem that therefore we would have to draw the conclusion, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is not simply, doesn't exhaust itself simply with the obligation of the Kohanim, but in addition, there's a special, unique obligation incumbent upon the Kohal at the time of Birchas Kohanim, that the Iker Kiyum of Birchas Kohanim does not exhaust itself with the Kohanim themselves, but rather, the brach has to be related to the nation, to the people, to the call, to the community, the Am. There has to be a mavarech and a misbarech. In other words, the people sitting in the audience have to be makabel on themselves the bracha from the Kohanim. And that kiyum of being a misbarech requires kavana. If the call is distracted, if there's a hesech hadas, then the Mizbarech is not a Mizbarech. Mizbarech being a Mizbarech requires his Kavana. Now, the issue that the Poskim discuss about whether a Kohen should be Mivarech twice in two different Tziburs on the same day, he's only obligated to fulfill his mitzvah once a day, but there's a second call, they don't have a Kohen, they want to invite this Kohen who's already davened and duchened in the first minyan to join them for the second minyan in order to be mevarech them. And the Chasam Sofer, for one, is of the opinion that the Kohen has the right and possibly even the obligation to comply with the wishes of the second Tzibur. Aye, he's already fulfilled his chiyuv, but the answer is the Tzibur has not yet heard Birchas Kohanim. They haven't discharged their obligation to be Mizbarachim, and the Kohen now, by being Mizbarachim, the second Tzibur, can facilitate the Tzibur's ability to fulfill their obligation to be Mizbarachim. Now, one of the din that we want to mention, which is so central to Birchas Kohanim is the halach of Kol Ram. In fact, the Beis Halevi is of the opinion that the normal principle, the universal principle, Shomer Ka'oneh, that allows one to hear a bracha from someone else and be yotzei, doesn't apply in the case of the Kohanim. Each Kohen has to be a Mevarech. It's not enough for one Kohen to be Mevarech and the other Kohanim to listen and fulfill their obligation through Shomer Ka'oneh. Why is that so? Says the Beis Halevi, because with regard to Birchas Kohanim, there's a separate requirement of Bekol Ram. And the halach of Shomer Ka'oneh could not apply even as far as the volume of the kol of the Kohen. But in any event, one thing is very clear. From the halacha of Kol Ram, we see that Birchas Kohanim relates to the Am, and you need a tzibur that could hear the Birchas Kohanim. If the Kohen whispers his bracha, who in the tzibur is able to hear it? So there should be a minimum decibel level required for Birchas Kohanim in order to guarantee that the Am will be able to hook in and hear the bracha. And that's called the Kol Ram. What it means is that we need two dimensions. We need the Kohen HaMevarech, and that's his special mitzvah. And then we have the Chiyuv on the call of being Mizbarech. And in order for the call to fulfill their obligation, you need that the Kohen, at the very least, should recite his Bracha B'Kol Ram. You may need other requirements. As we said before, you need that the Am focus on the Bracha, but they have to be able to hear the Bracha. The focus on the Bracha is what engenders an Isur Hesek Hadas, which according to Tosus underlies the Mishnah that says that we don't want Kohanim to have disfigured hands to be dukhani because that'll attract attention, it'll be Hesek Hadas. That's as far as the, in a sense, the active participation of the call. They have to be focused. They have to have the intention of hearing the words of the bracha being mizbarchim. But in addition to that, the call plays a more, shall we say, a shevi altasa role, more of a passive role in being mizbarchim, and that engenders the din, the requirement of the kol ram. We'll take a break for a few minutes, and in Mirtz Hashem, we'll finish this a little bit later on. Thank you very much. For our new topic, I'd like to discuss the mitzvah of Heseba. We know that Balayla Azeh Kulanu Misubin, and the source for Heseba is a Gemara in Arvei Pesachim on Kuf Ches Amid Aleph. The Mishnah says, Afilu Ani Shebi Yisrael Lo Yochal Ad Sheyesev. The mitzvah of Haseba is incumbent upon every Jew. Itmar Matzah Tzorech Haseba, Morar Ein Tzorech Haseba. And then the Gemara goes into a long discussion about Yayin. Does Yayin require Haseba? The answer is definitely it requires a seba, but we're not sure which kosos require a seba. Are the first two kosos or the second two kosos? And the Gemara says, now that we don't know which kosos require a seba, all four kosos require a seba. Now, let's just touch, at least briefly, on the Gemara's suffix. There are four kosos, and each kos has its own unique bracha. The first kos, help me out over here, is the kos of?
Kiddush.
Second kos?
Gol Yisrael.
Correct, Magid or Gol Yisrael. Third kos? Birkas Hamazon. And the fourth kos is Halel. Now, of these four kosos, which would you isolate or pinpoint as part and parcel of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? The second one, and the fourth one as well. Because Hallel is part of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Okay.
In fact, the Targum Yonasan says, "Vigarito is miloshan shevach, to praise Hashem." So tonight is the night of not just retelling the story, but also of Hallel, of being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this is pretty weird, because we're going to do a Seva on all four Kosos, albeit Midin Safek, we're not sure which of the Kosos require a Seva, whether it's the first two or the second set of two. But why should we do a Seva that's meaningless? Why is there a concept of a Seva on the first Kos and on the third Kos? The first Kos of Kiddush is a Kos of Kiddush that's identical to every Yontif and Shabbos as well. It's not a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And certainly Birkas HaMazon, where we thank Hashem for the food that He gave us, has nothing to do with Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what sense does it make to attach Haseva, which means Derech Cherus, that I demonstrate my... Go ahead, David.
Yeah, the first one you say is Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the third you say is Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Excellent. So I heard once from my Rebbe, which is exactly what David is expressing now, that all four Kosos have an element of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kiddush has an element of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. And not only that, in Kiddush we recite that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has separated us from the other nations, which the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah says that that's the essence of Messiah B'Shvach. What's Messiah B'Shvach? That God has chosen us from the other nations. Where is that in Agada? So my Rebbe said it's in Kiddush. In fact, the Gaonim, you know, you're going back 12 centuries ago, had a different Nusach of Kiddush for Leil HaSeder. My favorite Agada, for scholarship purposes, not for the Seder, no pictures or anything, is the Haggadah Shlema of Rav Menachem Kasher. Wonderful piece of research. And he has a reprint of the Kiddush of the Gaonim. It's like 2 pages long. And it's all about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I'll give you another proof that Kiddush on the night of Seder has a unique status in contrast to Kiddush the rest of the year. When is the earliest time for Kiddush the rest of the year? When can I recite Kiddush if I want to be early about it? Zriza Makdimin. Joe, can you say it a little louder? Because I don't read lips.
I didn't say, but I would imagine when as soon as...
You accept upon...
as soon as you accept upon the...
Right, what's that called when you accept upon yourself Yontif?
Yeah.
Tosefes Kiddusha, Tosefes Yontif. Tosef Shabbos, Tosef Yontif. Now, I can be Mekabel myself Tosefes Yontif after Plaga Mincha, you know, a full 2.25 hours before Shkia. That's not going to help me on Leil HaSeder. No Kiddush until Lila. Why? And the answer is because the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim bavur zeh b'shoshi yesh matzah u'morar munachim lefanecha. And let's add another word. If we were back in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, we would say b'shoshi yesh what?
Karban Pesach.
When is the earliest time to eat the Karban Pesach? Laila, because it says v'achlu es habasar b'laila hazeh. Tosefes is very nice, but it doesn't transform Laila, I mean Yom, into Laila. So I need Tzeisak Kochavim. But the truth is that's not necessarily a proof. I'll tell you why. It could be that Dalit Kosos is considered Shtia Derech Cherus, the drinking of the Kos, which is an expression demonstration of Cherus, that's Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the recitation of Kiddush, that doesn't belong to Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. One could argue that's the identical Kiddush of any Yontif and every Shabbos. So therefore, let's say that Tzeis HaKochavim is at 8 p.m. on the button. I'm just making it up. I can recite Kiddush at 1 minute before 8 and then complete my Kiddush when the buzzer goes off at 8 and drink my kos. Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, like Pesach, requires Lila. The answer is that's only as far as the drinking of the kos is concerned. But as far as the recitation of Kiddush, that can come before Lila. I've already been mekabel on myself Tosefes Yontif. So if I recite Kiddush at 1 minute to 8, and then I drink the kos at 8 o'clock, I should be okay. I've covered my bases. The Prima Gadim writes, no, I have to recite Kiddush after nightfall. Why? Because ain't Kiddush el b'makom suda. And it's not a makom suda until I can eat the matzah. And I'm not allowed to eat the matzah until there's a mitzvah of matzah. The mitzvah of matzah emerges with Lila, with Tzeis HaKochavim. Why am I enjoined from eating the matzah before Tzeis HaKochavim, before the mitzvah?
Because the mitzvah.
No, that's called Kibbol Arusasa Beis Chama. You remember that? The Tosfos at the beginning of Arbei Pesachim quotes Yerushalmi, you're not allowed to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Some people have a minhag not to eat matzah from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, some from Purim, but everybody has to stop eating matzah on Erev Pesach. Tosfos has a clear about matzah shira. Are you allowed to eat matzah shira on Erev Pesach? The Barsha says, well, matzah shira has the same taste as matzah, and therefore it's Kibbol Arusasa Beis Chama. I would say something totally different. That matzah shira is matzah. Again, it's lacking the ability to fulfill that mitzvah b'erev tochlu matzahs, but it's not chametz, it's matzah. In fact, the Gaon says that there's a mitzvah of eating matzah all 7 days of Pesach. Do I need shmura matzah all 8 days, all 7 days? I don't think so. In any event, we have to wait till after nightfall according to Prima Gadim because of the halach of Ein Kiddush El B'makom Suda. But I would say a different reason, based on what I heard from our Salvechik, that the Kiddush itself is integrated into Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, not just the Shtiyas HaKos, but even the recitation of Kiddush is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush. And we mention the fact that God has separated us from all the other nations. That itself requires Lila, because Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim is equated to the mitzvahs of Lila, Pesach, Matzah, Umarar. And like the Pesach requires Lila, Tzeis HaKochavim, so too the Matzah requires Lila, the Marar requires Lila, and the Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim requires Lila. But what about Birkas HaMazon? Give it a break. Birkas HaMazon is part of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. And David says very well, yes, it's part of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the second bracha, which is called Nodelecha, not just because God has given us the Torah, but also because God took us out of Mitzrayim. In fact, the theme of Hallel really runs throughout the entire Haggadah. Even though we pick up Hallel at the end of the Seder, but there's Hallel way before that. Now, I don't have a Haggadah in front of me, but Leficha Chanu Chayovim Lahodos LaHallel, you remember that paragraph, V'nomar Lefonav Shir Chadosh, that paragraph is in the first part of the Haggadah, way before Birkas HaMazon and before Hallel. But Rabosa goes way beyond that. Because what parsha in the Torah do we read in the very essence of the framework of Haggadah? Parshas Bikurim. What connection does Parshas Bikurim have to the mitzvah of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, Arami Ovid Ovi? Mascha B'gnus, Messiah B'shvach, the Rambam says, V'doresh is called Parshas Kula. Why? The answer is because the Rambam says the mitzvah of Havas Bikurim is a mitzvah of Hodaya, to thank Hashem for giving us the land. But when we thank Hashem for giving us the land, we go back to Yetzias Mitzrayim and we mention the entire story in a very synopsis, short form of Yetzias Mitzrayim. If we don't know which parsha to read on the Leil HaSeder to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're going to derive that from Bikurim. And just like in Bikurim, the Mevi Bikurim has an obligation to thank Hashem, express his thanks for the land, but not just for the land, for Yetzias Mitzrayim, so too in the framework of the Gadito, which the Targum says is Shevach, we're going to not only recite the parsha of Arami Ovidovi, the identical parsha of the Mevi Bikurim, we're going to interpret that parsha based on Torah Shebaal Peh. And you've all heard of the Tshuvas HaGaonim. One of the Gaonim was Rav Netroy Gaon, and he was asked, what happens? Somebody wants to read the parsha of Arami Oved Avi, and he wants to know if he could fulfill his mitzvah with reading the parsha without darshaning the parsha. And Rav Netroy Gaon says, not only does he forfeit the mitzvah of the Laila, but moreover, he's chashud b'enai, he's suspect in my eyes of being a tztuki. Because the tztukim, as you know, believed in Torah Shebichsav and they rejected Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, Rabos, I now have a question for you. What is the mitzvah of Hesebel? Is it part... Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Why if he's chushed be a tzuki because he's not darshaning?
Correct. The fact that he doesn't want to darshan the parsha, which is so integral to the mitzvah, is indicative of the fact that he doesn't hold of chazal. You know, he's a tzuki.
Torah Shebaal Peh.
He's a karoyin.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
On the side, by the way, my father told me that in his part of Lithuania where he was born, there was a shul of karoyin. They had a Yiddish word for it, they called it Karimer, the Karimer Shil. Who believes that, you know, my father didn't live, centuries ago. He was born in the 20th century, but he remembers from his childhood that they were Karoyim. I mean, you don't see it in Clanton Park, I don't think. All right. Now, let me ask you one question about Hesebel before we get into the thickness, the Me'ovi HaKora. What would you say about a Talmud who is invited to his Rebbe's Seder? What do you say? I didn't hear you, Ira.
No, I was going to say whether or not he could host it in front of his Rebbe.
Correct. What would you say?
Right. So, does he have permission?
Oh, excellent answer. He's got to get express permission. The Gemara says that Bifnei Rabo ain't Tzarech Haseba, and not only ain't Tzarech Haseba, the Rishonim say he's not allowed to do Haseba. Haseba means I'm sprawled like a Ben Chorin without any sense of awe and reverence. That attitude is antithetical to Bifnei Rabo. Yehimore Rabo Kimore Shamayim Kimore Shechina. It's not proper. Tosus wants to know, well, what happens Bifnei Aviv? The Gemara says Bifnei Aviv is Bai Yaseba. What happens if his Rebbe is also his father? My Rebbe, for example, told us that he only had one Rebbe in his life, and that was his father. So what do you do? Which arm, so to speak, rules over? Is it the arm of Bifnei Rabo, or is it the arm of Bifnei Aviv? And Tosfos says, Ein Tzarich, the same halach that applies to Bifnei Rabo, if he's not his father, applies to Bifnei Rabo, even if he's his father. And then he goes on to say that maybe we could assume that he was Mochel, because the Av is Mochel Bifnei, Litzarich Beno. The Gemara wants to know about Isha Bifnei Baila. What about a woman in the presence of her husband? So the Gemara says, if she's an Isha Chashuva, she needs a Seva. Well, who is an Isha Chashuva? So the Poskim have a tremendous machlokas about this. One school of thought says an Isha Chashuva is a woman who has political clout. She's so significant in the, you know, she's like a congresswoman. What would you call it in Canadian terms? You don't have a Congress, do you?
Parliament.
A member of Parliament. Oh, sounds too British for me. Okay, fine.
That would make sense.
Remind me to tell you a joke about Paul Revere when the British were coming. Anyway, so some say that she has such political clout that she can successfully wiggle her way out of some sort of legal claim against her, even without going through the courts. I don't know who fits that. How many members of Parliament do you know that fit that category? But other poskim say that our ladies are considered, each one of them, Isha Chashuva. So therefore, if your wife does her seva in your presence, you shouldn't get upset about it. Because she probably holds, like those poskim, that she defines herself as an Isha Chashuva. How much more so if she attends Shiurim, then for sure she's an Isha Chashuva. Fine. Then the Gemara says, what happens, this is a fascinating Gemara, if he drinks what's called Yayin Chai. What's Yayin Chai? You remember that back in the day, they had unconcentrated grape wine that was very harsh and very bitter. And you had to do what's called Mizug to add the water and dilute it. And there's a whole discussion here about what proportions, what ratios, but be that as it may, he decided he's drinking Yayin Chai. He doesn't have water, he doesn't dilute it. And what's the deal? Then the Gemara has another question. What happens if he drinks the four cups of wine, the Vasachas? We showed him, explain that he pours four cups of diluted wine in this case, and he drinks them one after the other consecutively, without being mevarech the brachos that are respectively set up for each one of the kosos. And the Gemara says something amazing. The Gemara says that if he's shasan chai, yidei yayin lo yatza, yidei dalid kosos yatza. If he drinks them bevasachas, then just the opposite is true. Yidei yayin yatza, yidei dalid kosos lo yatza. Now, the Brisker Rav, together with his brother, Rav Moshe's older brother, was stuck one year in a situation where they couldn't get hold of wine for the Leil HaSeder. And the question was whether or not they should drink, I think it was raisin wine. And they came to the conclusion that drinking raisin wine is better than nothing. But then they asked another question.
What do you mean by raisin wine?
Rushinkas from, you know, my father-in-law just landed here. He's so raisin wine, you know, they used to make wine from raisins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
I never saw it. Okay, one second.
Hello? Hello?
Okay. So Yayin Chai, we're going to get right back to Yayin Chai. So again, the Brisker Rav and his brother of Moshe Soloveitchik were dealing with this question. We're drinking raisin wine. Does every single person at the Seder, because even raisin wine was rare, have to be supplied with his own Dalid Kosos? Or is it enough that one person, we'll call him the Koreas Haggadah, would recite all four brachos and drink all four kosos, and everyone will be yotze vicariously through his drinking and his brachos? So can you guess what conclusion they came to?
Well,
If you don't have the situation, the best thing would be for everybody. But if they can't do it, what's
so? Guess what, Joe? They came to the conclusion that you don't gain a single thing al pi halacha by supplying everyone with raisin wine. You gain nothing, zero, zippo. Am I clear? Zippo. Why?
So you're missing that formula to begin with.
There's no favors.
Oh, Ira, I don't know. What can I tell you? I know you. Just if in baseball terms, it would be a grand slam. I mean, I don't know what to say. Okay. In hockey, I don't know. Maybe when I was a kid, it was Bobby Hull who got 50 goals. I think his son already surpassed him. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know much about ice hockey. I mean, I just know how many people missed my shiurim because they were busy playing hockey. Okay, fine.
Alright,
I'm just kidding. Alright, I'm not kidding. But anyway, so what I want to say is the following. Shver, are you able to listen?
I'm listening.
Okay, you'll listen.
Everywhere,
okay. So here's what I want to say. Ira hit it on the nail. There's something called Derech Cherus. Now, there are two parts to the mitzvah of Dalet Kosos. One part is Sidur Bracha Lakos, meaning reciting the bracha over kos. And there are four different brachos. Each one gets its own kos. Then there's halach of shtiyas hakos, of drinking the kos. And that is of kiyum, not of sidur bracha lakos, but a kiyum of derech cherus. So for example, with regard to Kiddush on Friday night or any other yontif, I can recite the bracha lakos. Nobody has to drink from the kos. Why? Because they hear my bracha, and therefore it's as if they were mevarech al kos. We had a long discussion about how that works, if you remember Shomei Kohenet. But be that as it may, they don't need shtia. On Leil HaSeder, there's a separate halach of shtia. It's not enough to listen to someone's kiddush. You have to drink the kos. Why? Because in addition to the Algamena halacha of Seder Bracha Lakos, there's also a special halacha of Shtia Derech Cherus. Oh, the nafkamina is going to be in the case of Yayin Chai and the case of Shoson Bevasachas. In the case of Yayin Chai, hard to call that Derech Cherus. It is Yayin Alpidin, and therefore you yotze the mitzvah of Seder Bracha Lakos. But the aspect, the dimension of Derech Cherus, you forfeit. Because it's not Derech Cherus to drink Yayin Chai. The opposite is going to be the case if you drink four Kosos Bevasachas. There you have Sidur Bracha. You have Derech Cherus because you're drinking a very tasty cup of wine times four. The only thing is you forfeit the Bracha because you didn't make four Brachas on the Kos. You drank them all consecutively. Now, what happens in the case of raisin wine? Raisin wine has the status of bracha lakos, but it doesn't have the kiyum of derech cherus. Therefore, Rav Moshe and Rav Velvel came to the conclusion that when we're drinking raisin wine at the table, you gain absolutely nothing by supplying raisin wine for everyone at the table. The only aspect of the mitzvah here is sidur bracha lakos. And that they could fulfill vicariously through Shomei HaKohenet by hearing the Bracha of the Mevarech. Narvas, in Leil HaSeder, there's a special requirement of Shtia, Derech Cherus. Well, raisin wine has the same status as Yayin Chai, and it's lacking the Kiyum of Derech Cherus. You forfeit that extra dimension, and therefore it's pointless to go out and supply everyone with raisin wine in order to afford them with shtia, because in any event, they're going to have to forfeit the kiyum of Derech Cherus. And even the Shosa, even the Mevarech himself, is not going to be able to be Mekayim the Derech Cherus. He'll only be Mekayim the mitzvah of Sidur Bracha Alakos. And here's my question to you, Rabosai. In the case of Yayin Chai, or the way the two brothers understood, we'll call them the Soloveitchik boys, the way they understood the case of raisin wine, would there be a mitzvah of Heseva? No. Because since we're saying that Heseva is engendered by Derech Cherus, and you have already forfeited the Kiyum of Derech Cherus, either in the case of Yayin Chai or in the case of raisin wine, what are you left with? You're left with only the Kiyum of Seder Brach Alakos. From that perspective, I don't know that a Seva is meaningful for Seder Brach Alakos. It's just a recitation and nothing more. I want to present to you a number of issues with regard to a Seva. Number one, what happens if you eat matzah and then after you finish the matzah, oy vey, I didn't do a Seva? Are you required to repeat the Achilas Matzah in Lamdisha terms? Does Haseva become essential to the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah? Or no? Haseva is an extra cube. That cube is attached to the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. You've already fulfilled the Achilas Matzah with the first matzah. It would be meaningless, therefore, to do Haseva in a repeat performance. Unless I come to the conclusion that Haseva is essential to the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. And I'll prove to you that Haseva is not essential to the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. The Rambam writes that you should do Haseva during the entire meal. If it was Aloch and Achilas Matzah as a mitzvah of Matzah, it would not apply to the entire meal. Obviously, the Rambam holds that a Seva is a separate, independent kiyum of Derech Cherus, and basically any achila. The way the Chazal formulated is that if it's an achilas chova, then you're required to do a Seva. If it's not an achilas chova, you're eating your kneiluch. Oop, forget about kneiluch. We don't eat kneiluch. My shver just got off the plane. I shouldn't have said the word kneiluch. But let's say you're eating. You're eating your non-gebracht, chicken, whatever it is. In that case, you have a reshus to be masiv, but no obligation. But generally speaking, we could say that Haseva is an independent kiyum, and it doesn't define the essence of the mitzvah matzah. And therefore, if you want to do a Seva by eating another Kesayis matzah, that's okay. But that's no different than doing a Seva while you eat your flanken or your chicken. Another question I want to raise with you is, what happens to the Afikomen? Does the Afikomen require a Seva? Well, the Kesayis matzah is shown in the first Kesayis is for the mitzvah of Tochlu matzahs. That for sure requires a Seva. But I'm not sure about the last Kesayis that you eat as the Afikomen. I would suggest that since the Afikomen replaces what, Rabosai? The Karban Pesach. Right? That therefore the Aloch of a Seva, insofar as it certainly applies to the Achilas HaPesach, because Achilas HaPesach, no less than the Matzah, is one of the unique features, the highlights of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, it should apply to Afikomen as well. The only difference is that with regard to Achilas Matzah Berishon in the first Kesayis, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa, and there Haseva is absolutely required. In the case of Afikomen, it's only Zeichel Migdash. It's not clear to me that we have to go further than that and require not only the Achilas Afikomen, but also Haseva. Yeah, Joe.
What do you mean? You just said that if you don't do Haseva by the mitzvah of Matzah, by the Achilas Matzah, you become the mitzvah of Haseva any time during the meal. Is that not what you said?
Right, but the way the Rabbanan formulated is that when is a Chiyuv to eat part of the meal? In other words, there are highlights of the meal. They attach to that Chiyuv a Chiyuv of Haseva. Beyond that, it's optional. It certainly allows you as a reshus to be mekayim the mitzvah. You can obtain the kiyum, but it's not required. With regard to the mitzvah achilas halayla, there's an absolute requirement of haseva.
So you do go back and eat?
No, that depends on whether that requirement is independent of the kiyum of matzah, or it's essential to the mitzvah of matzah. How did the Rabbanan formulate the requirement of haseva with regard to achilas matzah? They formulate it as the mitzvah of matzah, with the mitzvah of matzah is dependent. It's suspended unless it's contingent upon Haseva, or no. The mitzvah of matzah remains the way it was before the Rabbanan instituted Heseva. Heseva is a separate chiyuv in the case of matzah, but there would be no requirement to do another achilas matzah if you forgot Heseva. You want to eat more matzah, you can eat as much matzah as you want. I mean, that's a question for your gastro man, but yeah.
Right, so the afikil, what's the difference with regards to the afikomen? If you've already done the heseba at some point during the meal, so are you saying that the achilas matzah, achilas afikomen, which is okay in lieu of the korban pesach, but it's, so why would it, if you've already done the mitzvah of a seva, then would you not say the same thing as the matzah beforehand?
If you're eating the matzah of afikomen in lieu, as you said very well, in lieu of the korban pesach, then why should the matzah afikomen have less of a requirement of a seva than pesach? Meaning, korban pesach is one of the main features and the required achilas halayla. The rabbanon formulated a seva with regard to all the mitzvos halayla, all the mitzvah achilas halayla. Again, with the exception of mara, which we'll, the Lineder will discuss. However, it could be that it's not that the Rabbanon equated the afikomen with achilas pesach, it's a zecher l'achilas pesach. But it's not exactly achilas pesach, and therefore maybe they didn't require heseba, even if I grant you that they required heseba, but it's not essential to the mitzvah of afikomen. Thus, when we get to a zecher, we lower the standards and the requirements, and I would say therefore that heseba, even if I would suppose that it's integral to the essential mitzvah of matzah, that's only as far as the first kezayis is concerned, which is an achila d'oraisa, but the last kezayis, which is only a zecher, bi'alma, there the requirement of heseba is not essential to the mitzvah of zecher l'korban pesach.
So are you saying in the time when we're going to have the teeth of korban pesach again, if somebody would forget to leave while he's eating his korban pesach, he will not be kind of the mitzvah of korban pesach? There's nothing left. Everybody split it up. There's nothing left. He's not going to have been the kind of his mitzvah.
But Rabbanon, he would have to eat another kezayis because it's not.
They split it up. There's 100 people at the seder. Like, what's going to be?
Right. You remind me that there's machlokas tanoim about whether or not you have to guarantee that there's so many minuyim on the korban pesach that each one, if he gets a kezayis, they'll consume the korban pesach amongst them. Because there are two mitzvahs in korban pesach. One is the mitzvah of achila, which is only kezayis, and then there's halach in the korban itself that the korban has to be eaten. So you're right, it could be that in korban pesach they would not require you to eat another kezayis because somebody else has to eat that kezayis. But lo yitzu yahol, that you can have one person without any manui on the korban pesach, he's going to have to eat the entire korban pesach. So he's going to eat 20 zeisim of korban pesach. Then if he didn't do heseba on the first kezayis, he'll have to do heseba on the second kezayis. Now, what about karpas? Does karpas require heseba? And here, what do you say? Yeah. What would be the argument in favor of requiring heseba and karpas? It's a mitzvah achilas halayla. And not only that, it is zecher lecherus. It is part and parcel of the kiyum of Sipi Yitzis Mitzrayim. And anywhere where you touch upon derecherus, you automatically, you know, ring the buzzer for heseba. What do we say? No. That karpas is not a mitzvah achil at all. Karpas is kadesh yishlu atinokos. Basically, karpas should be a nechal, but there's no mitzvah achilah. And that depends upon whether there's a kezayis requirement. All the Rishonim, with the exception of one that I know of, I'm sure there are others, say that there's no requirement of kezayis in karpas. Who's the one Rishon who requires a kezayis? The Rambam, you guessed it. And the Rambam holds that karpas is an achilas halayla. I would suggest that according to the Rambam, you would require heseba in karpas. The other Rishonim who hold that there's no mitzvah achila per se, horaya, you don't have to eat a kezayis karpas. And they even recommend that you don't eat a kezayis karpas because of sugyas and brachas and bracha achrona, it's not brachas asuda. Is then therefore, I don't know if you need heseba. Again, heseba can't hurt. Others say that karpas is Zeichel Avdus. You've heard that. If it's Zeichel Avdus, then it should have the same status as what? As Marar. And there's no din of Eseba in Marar because the Derech Cherus doesn't apply to Marar. In fact, the real kasha that I want to leave you with today is the question of Tibul B'Charoses. If you assume that Charoses is Zeichel Letit, which means it fits under Avdus, then it's very strange. Because I understand Tibul B'Charoses in the case of Marar. I can justify Tibul B'Charoses in the case of Karpas, but how do I justify Tibul B'Charoses in the case of Matzah? Matzah is your classical example of Derech Cherus. Sheyotzav Hosenim Mitzrayim B'Chipazon, V'Hispik B'Tzekim L'Hachmitz, and Tibul B'Charoses is very strange. The Rambam, strangely enough, requires Tibul B'Charoses not only in Marar, not only in Karpas, but even in Matzah. Which leads me to the strange conclusion that matzah is a lot more complicated than we really think it to be. Ayin Pachad Yitzchak LePesach Maimar, I think it's Mem Vav, and he talks about the complexity and the dual nature of the mitzvah of matzah. Rabosa, I want to take this opportunity to wish all of you a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. I want to get back to the issue that we dealt with at the beginning of this year about Nesias Kapayim, and the question is whether or not the Iser of Histaklus B'Yedei HaKohanim is a result, as Tosus would have it, of Hesech Hadas, which implies, as we discussed at great length, a chiyuv, a mutual chiyuv of Birchas Kohanim on both the Kohen and the Kol. The Kohen as the Mavarch, the Kohen as the Mizbarech. The Rambam in Perek Yudal and Milchus Tefillah Alocha Zayin, and later on we'll talk about why the Rambam incorporates Nesias Kapayim into Milchus Tefillah, and Bechlal why we incorporate Nesias Kapayim into Tefillah. The Rambam writes, "K'shahoyu akonim mevarchim esha'am, lo yabitu ba'am, v'lo yasichu daitam, el yiyu einayam keneged aretz, ki omid b'tefillah." That's the lashon of the Rambam. It's clear from the Rambam that the Isur Esach Hadas with regard to Nesias Kapayim is fundamentally like a din of Kavana in Tefillah. Just like this halach and tefillah, shalo yasiach das, he has to be totally focused on his tefillah, he's omid lifnei hashchina, he should be a neyem, keneged aretz. In other words, just like the Rambam says, ke omid b'tefillah, their eyes should be lowered towards the ground. Yes, the Rambam certainly requires certainly assumes, shall we say, an Iser of Hesech Hadas, but what he adds here, that a dimension that we did not see in Tosfos, is that the Iser Hadas is a duplicate, is a replica of the Iser Hesech Hadas of Tefillah, and indeed the mental attitude towards, you know, of the members of the cult in the experience of Birchas Kohanim, of receiving the bracha from the Kohanim, the Rambam says is identical to the mental state of Omed B'Tefillah. And Kavonas HaLev, of course, in Tefillah is the main prerequisite for Tefillah, as the Rambam establishes six Prakim earlier in Perek Dalid, ten Prakim earlier in Perek Dalid, Milchus Tefillah. The Rambam says that Kavonas HaLev is one of the five elements that are absolutely kuva, that are indispensable to Tefillah. And the Rambam says that Kavana Salev, Ketzad called Tefillah She'ena V'Kavana, Eina Tefillah V'Mispal B'lo Kavana Chozer Mispal B'Kavana, Motza Daita Mishubeshes V'Libo Tarud, Osolo L'Spalel Adje Tisyashev Daito. A person has no license to daven if he knows that he's Tarud, and he won't be able to be miskaven a kavanas tefil l'ficha abo min aderech v'oyev v'miyat v'meitzar osalo l'spal ad shetisyash evdaito m'chachomim yishe shloshi yomim ad sheyanuach v'tiskar adaito v'achkach yispalel ketzeri ha-kavanas sheyifanis libo mikol ha-machshovos v'yira atzmo kilu omeid l'fnei ha-shechina. Reb Chaim has a lot of Torah on this Rambam, but be that as it may, what we need from this Rambam is that just like Havana B'Tfila is an absolute requirement, it defines the nature of Tfila, so too, in the case of Nesias Kapayim, which the Rambam says is Domil Tfila, the absence of Kavana is so profound that he forfeits the kiyum of Birchas Kohen. And the Rambam holds that Birchas Kohenim is one identical kiyum with tefillah. It requires kavana like tefillah, and therefore the Isur HaSachadas that applies to tefillah by process of transmutation of equation applies to Nesias Kapayim as well. Why is Nesias Kapayim part of tefillah? Why do the halachas of tefillah apply to Nesias Kapayim? That's a topic which we want to cover, Mirtz Hashem, in the next shiur. I'll stop the shiur now. And once again, I want to wish everyone a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, a very, very special Pesach. Thank you very much.